continuing on today, going through the book of Romans, and we're in our fourth week. So if you have a Bible or with you or around you, you can grab that. I did think of another announcement that I forgot. Because of the building, moving along, one of the things we're looking at is where the parking lot is going to go. And because of that, there are some trees that are probably going to have to get moved or cut down. So if you're interested, and I mean there's not a ton, but if is we'd want to open that up to people from the church, if you're interested in having getting a tree, some trees from there. My first suggestion is to talk with Bob, because he's going to be able to tell you exactly which ones kind of need to go. And then I could give you the number of a guy named Charlie Hackert, Don Hackert, who helped us move the trees in the first place. He's kind of gotten out of the moving trees business. He's kind of more in the nursery and watering trees business. His nephew has just moved to town from over north of Grand Rapids. And doesn't know a lot of people, and I thought how great it would be if people used him to move the trees, and he was able to make relationships here. But anyway, if you're interested in getting a tree, talk with Bob about that. I also just was talking with somebody this week, just an encouragement, I guess, to you guys, who was just saying, I've had interactions with a lot of people from church, and basically what he said, the final point he got to was, well, if I was a church-going guy, that's the church I'd go to. Well, if we get that one part straightened out, then we'll be good, but it's just such an encouragement to me that, the difference, sometimes you're the only Bible that people are going to read, and just great to hear things like that. So we're going to be looking at Romans, starting in Romans 6, if you want to turn there. I'm going to need some help on verses this morning. And I'm going to hit one other spot. So maybe, Jason, could you look up for later Galatians 2:20? We talked before how Galatians and Romans are two books that Paul wrote about creed, about theology. And so Galatians is almost like a first draft of Romans, so to speak. And so we're looking at that. So we're looking at Romans as the book that helped launch the first and second great awakening movements in Christianity, and a book that inspired major life changes in many of Christianity's founding fathers and influential leaders. We looked at the book's teaching on sin. Last week we learned about how to become a Christian. And now we have to find out how to live like a Christian. It's one thing to accept what Christ has done for you. It's another thing to accept it as personal and real. And we're starting in Romans 6. We're going to look at three important words or concepts. And these are kind of, you'll see these words a lot more in there if you've got the King James, but we'll talk about each of them, to know, reckon, and yield. And the first word is to know. In Romans, you need to know that Christ died for you. Haley, could you read Romans 6, 3 through 5?
Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may to live in life.
Yeah, I think you have one more verse to go.
For if we have been united with him in a death like this, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this.
Okay. Thank you. And then one more verse there. Julie, can you read Romans 6, verse 10? Okay, so in both those passages, we see that we know that Christ died for us. But just as important is that we need to know that you died with Christ. Drew, could you read Romans 6:8?
Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him.
Okay. So if Christ died for us and we died with Christ. The second word there is reckon. And this, again, this isn't the Andy Griffin come from North Carolina word, you know, I reckon I'll do that. It's kind of it's a King James word. It's more of a synonym word, would be to count something or to figure something or to claim something. In fact, let's read, Bob, could you read Romans 6:11?
In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, to the life of God in Christ Jesus.
Okay. So you count yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. Here's a kind of an illustration for reckon. If a trustworthy relative told you that he or she had put $1,000 in the bank and it's going to be available for you on your trip, whenever you need it, you could withdraw the money, you would count on it, right? Even though you never saw the money, it's a trustworthy relative, you'd count on it. Now, if you doubted that relative, and you thought, yeah, right, you put $1,000 somewhere for me, and you didn't ever withdraw it, then the money would never be yours. But if you reckon it yours by, you know, writing a check from the account, you know, you pass it through to the teller, and they, you know, out to cash or whatever, and they pass it back to you, you know, now it's been reckoned to you. Now what you've never seen before has become a reality. Reckoning makes it real, because we're dead to sin, and then alive to God. And then so now the question is how should we live? Which takes us to the third word, which was up here, which was yield. Okay? That we need to, that we know that Christ died for us and we died with Christ. We reckon what he did on the cross into our life, and also we yield. We yield our lives to God. I'm sorry. See, it's a lot easier when you're going to tables to see who's got a shower. Could you read Romans 6:13.
Neither go on presenting your members to sin as weapons of righteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, also your members to God as weapons of righteousness.
Okay. Good. So we yield ourselves to God and not to the instruments of wickedness. It means do we let go of our life? You let go and you let God. You probably heard that saying before, let go and let God. That's yielding. We let go of our life and we let God live through us. That's the surrendered life. It's the right way to live a life of victory and blessing. Let him work his will in you and through you. I thought an illustration for this was a week and a half ago. We were down at Camp Machindo and we got a chance to go on a ropes course there. Actually, Shelby's old roommate from Spring Harbor took us through ropes course. And it's kind of interesting because when you're on the ropes course, that's Caleb there, there's always something to step on and something to hang on to. Right here it's a wire, and he's got, you can't see it, but there's some wires there next to him. Or sometimes there's steps. But there's always the thing coming up over his shoulder. And those are the straps that are going to hold you no matter what. Each one of those little straps, you've got two straps going up there, each one of those will hold 2,000 pounds. Okay? But you tend to never want to use those. Like, you don't, whatever, you're trying so hard not to slip, even though there's more danger of falling on the ground, because you're going to fall all the way down, than falling there, because you'll just fall a couple of inches. And so you're trying desperately not to slip and not to fall as you're going through. I don't think anybody's holding on to anything. I think Andrew's just flying there. Okay, and here's another one where you're walking across and you're holding on, and you're holding on for dear life. You don't want to slip, even though you're being held up the whole time by that cord. You know, when we live not wanting to fall, live, avoid making mistakes, but we also live feeling God's power and his leading. You know, one of the things that was encouraging when they were first getting up there, the people that were getting up in the trees to help, to facilitate everything, one of the girls was going across this thing and just totally wiped out. I mean, she just go quick, wiped out, whoop, and then she's just hanging there. And you know, to watch and to realize, hey, it's gonna be okay. But still, you get up there and you don't want to let your feet slip. You don't want to let yourself fall. And all of a sudden, you're not experiencing the security that you would have just leaning back and resting on it. I don't know how many of you have, you know, in my life, it's through times of a slip up, times of a fall, times of a losing a job, or there's an illness you can't control, or a mistake that you can't make up for, that all of a sudden, then you feel the security of God. Then you know that God is going to catch you. Okay, but you get to the end. You get to the end of the ropes course, and then there's a problem because you can't hold on to the straps anymore. Now you get to the end, and you get to this big zip line, and you're, I don't know, 30, 40 feet up off the ground, and there's nothing to hold on to, and all you can do is rely on that support. You just got to kind of launch yourself out into the open, and sometimes you go through the whole course real easy, and you just sit on that platform and sit until the person almost pushes you off. I put a picture of me up there, not you. But anyway, sometimes that's a hard thing. And for others, it's not. Sam had a hard time going through the whole course, but he got to the part at the end where he didn't have to hold it. Oh, great. Woo! Just, you know, launched himself off. But sometimes God wants you to do, you know, you have to stop doing it on your own. You have to, as you come to the end of your self-support, you have to come to the end of yourself. You're not getting out of this world safely on your own. You're more secure when you're not doing it on your own. You're not meant to live life on your own power. To live life, to let go and that's a happy face. To let go and let God. That when you're just trying to do everything on your own, you don't realize the power of God, that you're meant to live in Christ. I was reading this book this morning, and some of you might be saying, oh, about time, you got that pastor's appreciation like a year and a half ago. But I have a long book stack to get through. Bill Hybels, we're talking about people's influential leaders who have been influenced by the book of Romans. And Bill Hybels is the pastor of Willow Creek Church out in northern suburbs of Chicago and Barrington, Illinois. And I don't know what the numbers are now, but they have like 30,000 people that go through the church on a weekend there. And he wrote, as always in the case in ministry, there were challenges, but I recall from this era is life and peace. I was watching the promise of Romans 8:6 play out powerfully in my young 20-something world. The mind controlled by the sinful nature is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And he was saying, basically, you know, why we're on the ropes course, when we're hanging on to our own abilities, it's this doing hanging on to life on our own. But when you have with life on the Spirit, the life that when you're being carried along by the Spirit, that led to life and peace. He let go of what he thought he should be doing, what he thought he wanted to do with his life, and let go. I can remember being, you know, I had my own plans where I experienced anxiety, when I've done stuff on my own, when I'm trying to keep my own feet firmly and not slip. You know, I thought, well, I'm going to be a creative director at an advertising agency. That was my long-term goal. And then it was writing sports for a major newspaper or a sports publication. And it wasn't until letting go of those things that God really gave me a life of peace, where I feel like, you know, I'm where God wants me to be. Now, I still have questions, I still have concerns, like any person, but no doubts. So Christians, we're learning about it in Romans, Christians soon find a new standard for living. The goal is not to just follow the law. We talked about following the law that the Jewish people had to follow. It's not just to follow the law, it's to please the one who wrote the law. Christians are no longer constrained by the law. Because of the death of Jesus on the cross, they're no longer under the law. But now Christ lives in us. And now our goal is to please the one who lives within us. What did Paul say? Paul, who is the author of Romans, he said that for me to live is Christ. He said that all I do all for the glory of God. Not I follow the rules really good or really well. And Romans 6 reveals the keys of living a life of victory. That I'm living in Christ. That I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. And you see, our flesh, our humanness, or as you will, is something that can never be good. It's never righteous, no matter how hard we try. There's always something wrong with the brownies. Okay, I'm not going there again. I know I ruined everybody's appetite like 2 years ago. I heard about it. But Dr. W.H. Griffith Thomas, he's a famous New Testament scholar. He said, it's not hard to live a Christian life. It's impossible. It's like having the ropes course where there is nowhere to step and there's just too far to reach. It's impossible to do that on our own. But if I live by Christ, I'm no longer living under the law. I'm no longer judged by trying to live a perfect life. And Romans 7, at the beginning, tells us how we're not slaves to the law. And that law is what tells us what sin is. In fact, in one place he says, I wouldn't have known what coveting is unless the law told me to do not covet. But it says if we die to ourselves, then we're no longer under the law. And he uses example of marriage to show how we have freedom from sin. Kind of a long passage here. Alice. If you read Romans 1 through 6, it's kind of a long passage, but...
What chapter?
I'm sorry, 7, chapter 7.
Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we may bear fruit for death. But now, as dying to once, to what once we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code.
Okay, so on our own, it's impossible to live the Christian life, but when we die to our old self, we can live for God's glory. Jason, Galatians 2:20. And the problem is this dying to self. Crucifying our old self is difficult. We have this sinful, fleshly body that, as long as we're alive, Paul talks about that old man that we carry around. It's this body. The sin of pride comes from things that that are done in and through the flesh. The sin of greed comes from things that we want for this body. Addictive sins almost all come from hormones and ingrained pathways in the brain. Just think, one day we're going to be freed from this body. That, you know, all of those, like, lust, greed, envy, pride, they all go out the door. It says to be dead to self, to escape this shell, as Paul would say. Most of Romans, starting with verse 7, focuses on the self. There's no mention of the Holy Spirit here, but I, or me, is mentioned almost 40 times. The I and me in chapter 7 try over and over again, but keeps finding defeat. In fact, let's have, Andy, is your finger in the spot there?
Romans.
Oh, is that right? Could you read Romans 7, 14 through 20.
We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it.
Okay, so we have I, we have me, we have self, trying over and over again, and can't do it. Self comes up short time and time again. I'm going to read, Charlie, could you read Romans 7, first 24 and then 25, and we're going to listen to the words of the person who tries to live by his or her own effort.
Oh, what a miserable person am I. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?
Okay, stop there. Your verse said, who will free me from this life? My verse says, who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? Again, this body, this flesh that we have, you know, as long as we're here on this earth, we'll be subject to the sinful nature of it. Then verse 25.
Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord, so you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin.
Okay. So I tries and fails over and over as a slave to sin. But finally, in chapter 8, the I, or self, finds that there is one that can help. There's one that's sufficient. And defeat, it gets changed into victory. And misery gets changed into joy. When I goes out there, then Christ comes in. The life in Christ is a wonderful thing. Let's listen to what it says. Josh, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 8, verse 2.
Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death.
Okay. So here's what happened in Christ. What happens in regards to sin and law in Christ is similar to what happens with the law of gravity, like, you know, on an airplane. You know, we had a couple people here last week or week before trying as hard as they could to escape the law of gravity. You know, jumping as hard as I might want to try, I can't escape the law of gravity with all my effort. But when I step on the airplane, I get free from the law of gravity with no effort on my own. Because a higher law of physics operates in the plane to lift it above the clouds. Even though the law of gravity, a few minutes earlier, held me down to earth. The law of gravity isn't destroyed, it's just caused not to be effective because it's overcome by a stronger law. In the same way, the law that operates by the Spirit in my life lifts me above the world. Above sin. And sin no longer has, you know, a hold or dominion over me. I'm free. I'm free without condemnation. I was thinking about that this morning. I had to, through some incidents, I had to go back and forth a couple times this morning, coming here and going back home. And catty corner to us, sort of, across the street is a farm that has sheep. And the first time I noticed one of the grazing near the fence, and there's some gap there. Well, one of the sheep had gotten through and was grazing on the outside of the fence. And every time I drove by, this thing was just freaked out, you know, and trying to get back over and almost couldn't get back in. And I had to drive by a couple times. And I got to thinking how that's like us sometimes in Christ. We think it's all rules or walls or barriers, and the sheep wanted to be free, but there's a whole different kind of freedom that God talks about, to be free indeed, you know, to be free, to be safe, to be protected by Christ, to have Christ dwell in us, and when Christ is in us, then there's a power and work in us greater than the power that's at work in the world. And here's my question for this morning. Have you stepped into Christ? Have you stepped? Are you living on a plane far above evil principalities and powers? Have you come to the end of yourself? You know, the lesson that we just learned, I never brings anything but failure. You know, it's the I and sin, you know, that has to be removed. You put a O in there, and you have Son, that He'll give us victory. Do we step out of the self-life and the Spirit-filled life? You know, in Romans 8, instead of the words I and me, now we find the word Spirit used 21 times. That we have to yield our lives to Him. And that's our part. And then He'll fill us with His Spirit. That's Christ's part. In chapter 7, chapter 8, just this glorious chapter that starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. Something to read, Romans 8, verse 1. And again, I can't really see, but could you read Romans 8, 1?
Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay, so there's no condemnation. And now someone, let's have read Romans 8, 37 through 39. Could somebody Tabitha, could you? Romans 8, verse 37 to 39.
No, in all these things, we who are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay. And it starts with no condemnation, and it ends with no separation. And that's the picture of our life in Christ. You know, just like our family on the ropes course, just like the sheep that are inside where they're supposed to be, the Christians are safe because Christ is around them and the Spirit is within them and God is for them. And Christ is around you and the Spirit is within you and God is for you. Amen? You believe that?
Amen.
Let's have the worship team come up front. We're going to sing a song. It kind of goes off that last verse that we were reading. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. Healing is in God's hands, and nothing will be able to separate us